Welcome to Tuesday Night Live. It's a good night to die. Amen. You know, we've been talking about, this is like a part two or a continuation of last Tuesday night. And I want to turn to Hosea chapter 4 before we get started. Glory to God. Hosea 4 and verse 6. Hosea 4 and verse 6. Everybody ought to know this scripture by heart, right? You don't even need to turn to it, huh? That's okay. Praise God. Glory, glory. Let's all read it together. Hosea 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What is knowledge? Truth. Knowledge understood is truth. If knowledge is not understood, it's not truth. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you reject knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. So we know that knowledge is a representation. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel that knowledge will increase. Amen? And knowledge has increased tremendously to where people are really caught up in the area to where they're dependent on electronics. I mean, you know, it's actually caused people to become a little bit lazy. Now we have computers and so forth, and it's increased jobs in one area, but then decreased jobs in another area. But knowledge is a vital part, but it's knowledge understood, because if something's not understood, then it really is not truth. And things that are understood, it has to pertain to time also. Everything in God is His perfect timing. Everything. And one of the things that we must have discernment of, that which was, which is, and what is to come. Even as you read your Bible, God can speak to you in many ways. He can speak to you of something that was, that is, or is to come. And one of the things that He wants us to do always is to stay walking in the Spirit so that we can discern what He's trying to tell us. Amen? So knowledge is an important factor. Knowledge is a representation of like a tutor. But the Holy Spirit is always the mentor. Knowledge is the guideline. But the Holy Spirit is the mentor. Knowledge shall always direct you to the mentor. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. In verse 6, the word says that, for the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. From whose mouth? His mouth. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. Walking uprightly. Walking uprightly is very important. That's where you're going to discern where the knowledge is coming from. Because if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not walking uprightly, you will not be able to discern. He guards the path of the justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, wisdom is what tells you what to do with the knowledge. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. So what we want to be able to do is we want to have knowledge with understanding. We want to have wisdom so we know what to do with this knowledge. Amen? Now, one of the things that we've been talking about, what God wants to reveal is things, because remember one of the things that Jesus said, He said that He was manifested that He may expose the works of the enemy or destroy the works of the enemy. Because Jesus is light. And where light is, darkness is exposed. Amen? You know, when you ever go into a home that has a lot of cockroaches, you turn the light on and everything scatters, right? All those little varmints boogie, they cannot stand the light. One of the things that we have been talking about is the spirit of leaven. The spirit of leaven. And the spirit of leaven is something that Jesus has been exposing to us for many years. He even told us, He said, be wary of the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven represents two things. It represents something evil, doesn't it? Amen? And remember, we talked about that if the devil can't kill you with sin, he'll kill you with what you eat. Leaven is also expressed as another part known as a food substance or a fungi called yeast. And we must be careful of these things. Now I'm going to talk more about that tonight. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. Now we know that leaven is also associated with malice and wickedness. 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 3. Would you read it with me? Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. And that it's our responsibility to test the spirits. You tell them by their fruit. Amen? If there's fear there, that's certainly not a good spirit, is there? Amen. So if you're being told something that's bringing fear, then it's not good, is it? It's manifesting the wrong fruit, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. And fear always brings bondage, but God's perfect love casts out all fear, doesn't it? So you and I are to test the spirits, no matter what. Even when somebody tells you something, you better test it. Amen? Test everything. It may sound wonderful, but it may not be God. But test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. It's not even just, you know, people keep looking at false prophets as someone that's dressed like camel hair, camel clothes, you know, and these big belts and everything that was like John the Baptist or something, or Elijah or whatever. That's not, listen, every one of us in here is prophetic because we are in a prophetic ministry. Does everybody understand it? In fact, that the Bible tells us that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So because you've become a believer and you're accepted Jesus Christ and you're given the testimony, that acknowledges you as a prophetic time. So he's not just talking about the office of prophet. Amen? He's talking about every believer. So he's saying, listen, many false prophets have gone out into the world. In other words, many people have gone out and teaching or preaching the incorrect things, aren't they? Many of us have come from many places where some of the things that we were taught were incorrect. Now, not every place is the perfect place, amen? There's only one perfect, and that's him. But you and I are to have the discernment to take the meat and throw the bones out. God knows what we need and what's pertaining to you. He said, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. Now every demon is a representation of the spirit of Antichrist. Anything that wants to come against the anointing of God or the truth of the word. We get our confirmation through the revelation of the gifts of the Spirit. We get our confirmation through the word of God. And we get our confirmations through the offices of the body of Christ. That's where your confirmations come. Does everybody understand that? Three areas. The word, the gifts of the Spirit, and the offices of the body of Christ. That's where the devil likes to get people to become loners. So they can conjure up their own garbage. They receive the things of the devil, and they think that they're of God, and they're not of God, and it brings fear not only to them and everyone they teach or try to, whatever. Amen? So we get our confirmation from three areas where the gifts of the Spirit, the offices of the body of Christ, and the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So we want to test the spirits. What we're trying to do is discern whether it's a spirit associated with the spirit of Antichrist, and you tell it by its fruits. So we know that the devil is out to kill me and you, isn't he? Yeah. I mean, that's his purpose. The word said that he's come to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. So he's not your friend. He may pretend to be your friend, but he's certainly not your friend. He's going to try and kill you any way he can. And like I share with you, the word says that the wages of sin is death. Amen? We talked about how Jesus expressed that there's a difference between healing and cleansing. Amen? There's a difference between healing and cleansing. And we want to discuss a little bit more about this cleansing. So the devil will either kill you with sin or what you eat. Now, of course, many people say, well, you can eat anything. And you can. It's not sin. But I guarantee you, you eat enough candy bars and never eat another thing again, you're going to die. Hello? Amen? And one of the things that God wants to do is put his body in shape. He's exposing things that are affecting individuals. You know that the United States is puffed up, blown up, and obese. I mean, you know, people eat whatever. Everything is fast food because knowledge and technology has caused things to progress so quickly that people don't, you know, there's not many families that sit down and eat anymore. Or there's so much stuff going on. You got to do this, you got to do this. So people eat fast food, which is killing them. And one of the reasons is because technology has increased so much, knowledge has increased so much, people are out to make money and do this, and they can do more things now and whatever. And so this fast pace has been expressed tremendously, especially in this country, and knowing globally also. Would you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2? Oh, hallelujah. Now, I shared with you before on the first tape, this came about because I nearly died. I nearly died. And I didn't even know about this. And many years later, after I'd gotten saved, and the Lord brought me in the Spirit, I began to learn certain things, and he began to teach me about the spirit of leaven that tried to wipe me out, besides every other spirit. But the spirit of leaven tried to wipe me out. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Glory to God. And in verse 21. Would you read it with me? Therefore, if anyone what? Cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now listen, this is very powerful. He's not only cleansing of sin, right? Because the word tells us in 2 Corinthians that there's cleansing of spirit and flesh. In other words, it says that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, are we? Our enemy isn't against flesh and blood. It's not a flesh and blood enemy. It's a spiritual enemy. But he does affect your flesh, doesn't he? Yeah, amen, he does. So your enemy isn't fleshly, it's a spirit, but it'll definitely affect your flesh. And if he can get you to obey his voice or do things, it'll affect your flesh. What you sow is what you reap. What you eat is what you are. Remember, Jesus said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. So he even showed us the things spiritually that we're to eat and things physically that we're to eat. And we talked about this the last tape about, we went in the Old Testament and talked about things to eat. Amen? Things that there are certain animals that are to keep the earth cleansed, to keep the waters cleansed, and so forth. Those are automatic cleaners, you know, like in a pool, an automatic pool cleaner. They clean everything. The thing is, you know, one of the wild things that people used to think, I'll never forget this. When I was brought up and my mother would say, eat your liver. She put liver in my, I could not eat it. I wouldn't care if I'd sit there till tomorrow. I would not eat liver. I just could not understand why I would want to eat someone else's filter. Now think about it. I could not eat. People say, I love liver. Praise God, you go ahead and eat it. Not me. This cat wasn't going to eat no liver at all, man. No way. I could not eat someone else's filter. I just couldn't understand it. But anyways. Hallelujah. Well, it's high in iron. Praise God. Go get a supplement. Let's read verse 21 again. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor. Now, we understand that being a vessel of honor is also a representation of someone who's obedient. Now, you and I know that there are some foods that we've eaten that have cluttered us, hasn't it? There are certain things that we have eaten that we just know that it just made us dumb and stupid. We know some things that just, man, just, you can sense it in your system. Wow, man, I wish I wouldn't have eaten that. You know, some of the things make you dull in the spirit. When we talked about Daniel, who went on his fast, and he showed that the king's servant where they were when they were in Babylon about the difference of eating things that were vegetables and water and stuff like that compared to what the king's food was. And they showed that these guys had more clarity and everything else. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I just got to go all over. I don't see my face is going, ooh. Okay, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility. Humility. Listen, humility is also a representation as one who's willing to receive correction. And humility, correcting those who are what? Opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their what? Senses. Come to their what? Senses. Senses is a representation of your flesh arena. And escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him who do his what?
Will.
His will. So we know that the works of the flesh are evident that somebody's doing the will of the devil, isn't it? Amen. We know that the manifest talks about in Galatians chapter 5 about works of the flesh. So he says something very important, that they may come to their senses. Now we know, and I just shared this a minute ago, about how sometimes food clutters your senses, doesn't it? It clutters you. Things that you've eaten, things that you've drank, you know, sometimes it just clutters you, and there's a reason behind all of this. So one of the ways that we do cleansing is by fasting. Let me explain something. Fasting doesn't move the hand of God. It does not move the hand of God. Fasting brings you into a position to hear. Fasting doesn't move the hand of God. Fasting brings your soul and your flesh under submission so that your spirit can hear. Because your spirit communes with the spirit world. Your soul interprets and your flesh does the work. So fasting doesn't move the hand of God. What it does is it brings you to a place so that you can hear, because faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Amen? So as your faith gets built up, then what happens? God moves because of your faith, not because of your fasting. That's when the disciples came back and they said, Lord, we couldn't move these, get rid of these demons. Well, you got to remember something. Didn't the Lord say that my disciples, while I was here, didn't have to fast? Right? He told the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said they didn't have to fast because they were all upset that the guys didn't fast. Jesus' disciples, he said he doesn't need to fast when the bridegroom is here. So they didn't have to fast, so they weren't fasting. But it did hinder them because remember when Jesus said to them and they came and the guy brought his, he told us the Lord about his child. He said they couldn't cast out the devil out of my son. And the Lord said, oh, you have little faith. He said, these things don't come out without what? Prayer and fasting. So it was a teaching for me and you, because fasting brings your flesh and your soul under submission. If you're all scrambled eggs, hello, in the mind, if you're tormented, if you're confused, all of these things, you go fast. Why? Because food is affecting your clarity. Hello? Did you ever realize that you may be suffering during that fast? And the devil's attacking you everywhere. You may have a headache and this and that and whatever. But once you come out of that fast, man, there is clarity. It's like, whoa. It's almost, man, you fast enough, you don't even want to go back to eat. You know? Hallelujah. So fasting is a part of, he's talking about here, cleansing is also cleansing physical, amen, your flesh, and spiritual. So we want to cleanse both of these areas in our life. What we want to do, even some of the fasting that you may be doing is just abstaining from toxic foods. Amen. Daniel fasted. What did he do? He had water and vegetables. So fasting just doesn't mean of sustaining from nothing. People can still eat certain things. The whole thing is you want to eat good food. Or you may fast certain meals or whatever. You may go on a few day fast and just have water or whatever. But one of the things that we do want to do is cleanse our flesh, our body. There's proven fact that people who fast a long time, who've had certain sicknesses and diseases, they were healed because it gave the body an opportunity to go after the sickness and disease instead of constantly trying to digest food. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Starting at verse 1, first three verses. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when either a man or woman consecrates an offering to take the vow of a Nazarite." Now, where did Jesus come from? Hallelujah. "To separate himself to the Lord. He shall separate himself from wine, from similar drink," in other words, anything that's fermented. "He shall drink neither vinegar made from wine nor vinegar made from similar drink," that's fermented. "Neither shall he drink any grape juice nor eat fresh grapes or raisins." And let me explain to you why. Because things that are fermented promote yeast. In fact, if you look at a grape when it grows, what grows on the skin is yeast. So when they crush the grapes, because yeast promotes fermentation, doesn't it? Now, we know that there are different things that are good for us, like certain yogurts. It's got a good bacteria, isn't it? Amen? It's cultured. But there's a difference in the fermentation of certain other things. There are things that are good, and there are things that are bad for us. There are things that have good antibodies in them, and there are things that will eat your immune system. And I shared with you before that yeast is one of the things that eats your immune system. People with AIDS, what they get is what they call thrush, and it's because they're overcome with yeast. I've been in the AIDS ministry, and one of the things that we always tried to get to them was no sugars and sweets because that all promotes it. Caffeine and all sorts of other things promote yeast. As, remember, the Lord said, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump." Certain people can't, you know what, three things that we talked about, yeast or that what we talked about, the spirit of leaven being there and associated with it, because what it does is it brings arrogance and pride also. Amen? It brings bloating. Some people are bloated. It brings confusion and so forth. They've taken many tests where people are loaded with yeast and have found that people in mental institutions, people are diabetes, people with heart disease, their yeast level is over, way over normal. One of the things is because yeast eats the immune system of man. Okay? Hallelujah. And he said, listen, when you consecrate yourself, don't eat any of these things. What they were doing is separating themselves unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Go to verse 31. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong one. Let's go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. Spirit of leaven. You know, think about how people react when they drink alcohol. Isn't that fermented? Amen. They get real goofy. Remember, you go by that bar and it says food and spirits? They weren't kidding. Just, they should have just food and the spirit of leaven. And every associated spirit. Proverbs 23 and verse 6. Read it with me. "Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." So is he. "Eat and drink," he says to you, "but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up, and waste your pleasant words. Isn't it powerful? It associates things with what you eat and what you may speak. You know, the Lord says it's what you speak that defiles you, isn't it? It's not what you eat that defiles you. But what you eat can affect what you speak. That's what defiles you. Believe me, the devil isn't stupid. He's not dumb. Go to verse 31. It says, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a what? Serpent. And stings like a what? Viper. Your eyes will see what? Strange things. And your heart will what? Utter perverse things. Does everybody get it? Praise God. Alcohol. Alcohol must be fermented. Alcohol. Oh, praise God. What it does is it affects the senses and opens the door to foul play, known as demonic activities. Foul play. Now, the Word tells us that you and I are a royal priesthood. We are called to be priests. We are like the John the Baptist, that we are in the spirit of Elijah. We are the forerunners of the eternal Lord. John the Baptist did neither eat nor drink wine and so forth, right? Because of the spirit of Elijah. That's what we're in right now. Because we are the forerunners of the return of the Lord. And the Lord wants us to be sensitive to his voice and clarity. And we must be careful of the things that we eat. Amen. It doesn't mean you don't eat, you can't have a slice of bread. It doesn't mean, you know, you don't be religious about it. But what you don't do is you don't overdo it. Amen. You don't overdo it. And if you know that you're being affected by this, then you need to go on a fast. And we're going to talk about a special diet here in a minute. But just understand that these things, sometimes if even people who are very clammy and so forth, children who are born with it because it's inherited also, coming from the mother, where these children that are hyper children, very, very hyper, they're trying to do everything they can, but they've never tested their yeast level. And they find that their yeast level is extremely high. Mine was so high, the doctor said to me, this nutritionist that I went to, he said, man, I don't understand how you're alive. I was down to about 120 pounds. I was so sick. They thought I had diabetes. They thought I had heart disease. They thought I had AIDS. They didn't know what I had. That's all they knew was I was dying. And the doctors could not help me. But I went to a nutritionist whose son wrote the software for yeast. And he took my level of yeast and he said, man, and he put me on a diet. And believe me, my life changed in 3 weeks. Changed. My diet changed. My habits still didn't change yet until Jesus changed them. Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 10. I just prolonged those things. Hallelujah. But he sustained my life out of his mercy and his grace. Oh, praise you, Lord. Leviticus chapter 10. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In verse 12. Would you speak this with me? Read it with me. And Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and to Lamar, his sons who were left. Take the grain offering that remains of the offering made by fire to the Lord and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place because it is your due and your son's due of the sacrifices made by fire to the Lord, for so I have commanded. Now the Lord told Moses, take that grain offering that remains of the offerings made by the fire of the hand, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy, because leaven was a representation of evil. He did not want it near his altar. Does everybody understand that? Go to Exodus 34. to God be the glory. Exodus 34. What is an accursed item? Doesn't it draw demonic activity?
Amen.
Amen. Can't something be good and then become an accursed item? Like, couldn't your vehicle or somebody or whatever become an accursed item, right? Because it becomes an idol. Amen. Sometimes food can become an idol to people and it becomes an accursed item to them. Exodus 34 and verse 25. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with what?
Leaven.
Again, he says it. He says, don't mix my blood with the sacrifice of leaven. Nor shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until morning. In other words, he didn't want the food to be left over because it would begin to ferment. Amen? He didn't want it to ferment. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, nor shall the sacrifice feast of Passover be left until morning. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12. Hallelujah. Exodus 12 and verse 15. Talks about the feast of Passover. Isn't that the first feast? Amen? Passover feast, seven feasts of the Lord. The first one is Passover. The second one is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Verse 15, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. So this was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In other words, Passover went right into the Feast of Unleavened. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. You shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. It is an everlasting ordinance. Listen, you and I have been grafted. It doesn't mean that it's not sin to celebrate the feast, because Jesus fulfilled these feasts. But these feasts were made specifically to keep his people clean and also to bring remembrance. One of the great feasts that Jesus gave me and you was communion. He said, do this in remembrance of me, representing the new covenant where all the rituals and ordinances have been removed. But you and I now have a personal relationship. They acknowledge these feasts to acknowledge God on those days. They had that Sabbath because to acknowledge God on those days. But now every day, because Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, you and I can have that relationship every single day. Oh, hallelujah. Now go to verse, 19. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all of your dwellings. You shall not eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. So we see here, for 7 days no leaven shall be found in your homes. In other words, they even had to be taken out of the home. Any vinegar, anything that was fermented, anything had to be removed from their house. And it says that this shall be a memorial forever, right? An everlasting ordinance. We are to be observing this feast in today's generation. Not that you're actually having to participate in it, but you're to observe it in a certain way. In other words, by cleansing yourself. When you fast, you're actually acknowledging that feast. Does everybody understand that? But at least what we need to do in a cleansing is prepare ourselves of not eating leavened things for 7 days. Now, you may call this religion, but it was something God gave us to bring cleansing, didn't he? Amen? It's a cleansing. Seven is a number of perfect and complete. Cleansing. Look at when the soldier went to Elijah, and what he sent out his servant, he said, what did he do? He had leprosy, didn't he? He said, go dip in the Jordan. How many times?
Seven.
And he was clean, wasn't he? Why? Because he obeyed. He obeyed. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Deuteronomy 16. Oh, to God be the glory. Deuteronomy 16, verses 1 through 3. Can everybody hear me? Can you hear me? Hallelujah. We still going? Is that thing still jamming? It's very low. Okay. Hallelujah. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover, starting at verse 1. To the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore you shall sacrifice the Passover of the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. That is the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. Now this is very powerful. And you just got to look at this a little bit deeper. First of all, the Lord told them not to put leaven in their bread because they would have to move quickly. Right? In other words, the people did not know when they were getting ready to move. Or else they'd have to wait with the yeast. And what they used to do is once they got a dough with yeast, they would keep a chunk of it from the one that they already made. And they would save that and they would put it in another one. And they would roll it up. And then as that began to rise, they would take that and save it and put it in another one. And they'd always have leaven because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And he said, don't do that to this bread. Do not put leaven in there because I want you to move quickly. Well, I personally believe that one of the reasons why the Lord wanted them to move quickly is because he didn't want them to get filled with yeast. Does everybody understand that? In other words, they weren't going to have time for it to rise, and he didn't want it to affect them when they cooked the bread because of the yeast level. Because what does it do? It brings fogginess sometimes. It clouds us and so forth because yeast eats the immune system. And he wanted them to move quickly to come out. Everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. No, I'm not trying to tell everybody to go home and throw out your bread, you know. Not yet. But did you ever notice that when you eat a piece of bread that's got a lot of yeast in it, you desire more. You desire more. And remember, yeast causes a undesirable craving for sweets, chocolates. It causes that. So if you're constantly craving sweets, you know that your body has yeast in it. And it's not that it's not supposed to have some in it, but it's over the balance. It's over the balance. One of the things that yeast causes a lot of is allergies. Because the reason why people have allergies is because their immune system is low. They can't fight off certain things. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. What is yeast? Yeast is a single-cell fungi. The presence of this fungus or fungi has been seen in practically 100% of the population. The fungus normally lives on the mucous membranes of the intestines, digestive tract, along with a billion other microorganisms. This fungus, also known as Candida albicans, can be overcome by cleansing. There are many causes of this fungus, such as a high beef, high fat, low fiber, high sugar diets that our society is accustomed to. Some antibiotics. People have been on antibiotics. Usually their body is loaded with yeast. Loaded. Long-term use of birth control pills and steroids and any habitual overuse of medication will weaken the immune system and cause this fungus to grow in them. It is fed by sugars, additional yeast, chemicals, some things put in food, things like MSG and certain preservatives, and artificial replacements, things to that degree, feed this. caffeines, kids with, I mean, you know, people try to get away. They think, well, I'm going to have a diet soda instead. But they do not understand that the saccharin and the stuff that replaces it is more damaging than the sugar. It brings tumors in the brain and many other things. It blows my mind when I see all of these young kids, these parents giving them sodas, and they're like 3 and 4 years old and they're just drinking sodas. It just tears my heart up because they have no idea what damage they're doing that kid. Then they scold that kid, want to know why it's uncontrollable. They bring it to the doctor and the doctor dopes them up, and it's because of the parents' fault. They don't know how to feed them. Amen? And then they teach their kids the same thing. Please turn the tape over.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's do it. Are we going? Make sure. Doesn't say, is it? We all right? Hallelujah. So, you know, that's where the word says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We're destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, many of us have been brought up. I mean, I was a child that was brought up. I would eat a half a loaf of toast in the morning before school. No wonder why I was goofy. And believe me, I had a lot of allergies when I was a young kid. I always had problems. Physical, mental, you name it, I did it. You know? And they couldn't understand what my problem was. They never realized it was yeast. Fighting with it my whole life. Oh, hallelujah. Sweets, pastries, things to that degree where you crave, you can't get enough of sweet. Man, I gotta have a sweet. Leaven, spirit, hello, yeast. This fungus is a threat to the immune system and seems to be the major foundation to the effects of many diseases. When the immune system is weak, the doors are open to foreign bacteria, viruses, flus, and so forth. Some of the effects of this fungus have been shown in the high level of yeast, and like I said, in HIV patients, mentally disturbed, hypertensious children, cancer, heart, and many other known sicknesses. A person may experience depression. Someone who's always depressed, majority of the time, they're very high in yeast. Anxiety, migraines, irritability, foggy mind, forgetfulness, bad allergies, and many more. Those things are associated with a high yeast level in their body. The Lord tells His children in the Old Testament to cleanse themselves 3 times a year for a period of 7 days each time per year. Now, with all the sugar and the foods that we eat in this time in our life, which feeds this fungus, how much more do we need to cleanse ourselves? What a way the devil can have can have an access to us, but through this fungus known as the Prince of Power of Air. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Go to Galatians. Let's see. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Glory 7. Galatians 5 and verse 7. You ran well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you a little what? Leaven leavens the whole lumps. So we can surely see yeast, a fungus, which affects the human body in many fashions, was forbidden in the sanctuary at the period of time when we talked about that. No one, the priests, they could not bring this stuff into the sanctuary. It was not allowed to be set apart, right? God commanded it would not to be in there. God calls you and I, because you and I are now the sanctuary, aren't we? Are we not the temple? What he's saying is we need to cleanse ourselves. He will cleanse himself from his past, from the latter. Cleansing spiritually, the Bible says, cleanse your spirit and your flesh will be a vessel of honor. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. You'll notice that after fasting, you become clearer, more sensitive. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the what? Prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, just as the others. The prince of power of air. You can see the prince of power of air in constant activation and work. Have you ever bitten an apple? Did it turn brown? It's called the prince of power of air. It's always bringing death. It doesn't bring life. We live in an arena which everything is bringing death now. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Verse 7. Would you read it with me? Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Now what is he saying? He says, purge me with hyssops and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Here we see the herb, the leafy shrub, uses a purification with blood. Hyssop. Hyssop is a very potent herb, and it was used for cleansing. In fact, go to Exodus 12. Exodus chapter 12. 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of what? Hyssop. Dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel of the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. So we see here hyssop was used for even putting on the lintels of the door. It was a brush used, a bush that was used. Hyssop is an herb used today to cleanse and purify the body. It's used tremendously. They have hyssop teas. They have hyssop drinks and cleansing. Hyssop is a well-known herb for cleansing. In fact, hyssop actually eats yeast. It destroys yeast. You know, even when, think about when Jesus was tempted. Remember we talked about this before. Why was he tempted? He wasn't tempted with fish or steak or, I mean, he was tempted with what? Bread. Hello. Praise God. He was tempted with bread. Hallelujah. All praise be to God. Turn to Matthew 17. Okay, we already talked about. Turn to Luke. I'm sorry. Turn to Luke chapter 5. Because we already talked about casting out the devils, and I didn't want to go back to that again. Luke chapter 5. Luke 5. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Chapter 5. Everybody there? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Well, let's go back to 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He didn't ask him to be healed, did he? He said, clean me. And he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing to be cleansed. I am willing to be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. You know, leprosy is a form of fungus also. It's a form of, it's an infectious fungus that's deadly, and a part of it is a representation also of yeast. Even, what do you call it? What's that skin disease? Psoriasis is a representation in a form of yeast. It's just a different category. There are many things that people can't get rid of. And it's a terrible infection. But majority of the time, it's not the outwardness. The outwardness is just reflecting what's on the inwardness. So the skin is what pops out or gets brings the sign because of what's going on in the inside. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Amen? So where there are things that are going on the outside, people with high acne and things of that degree, they usually, you'll find out that some of them, of course, we know that there's a certain time of age when somebody is going through a transition, that sometimes they'll have, because of that transition, that chemical transition in their body, they'll begin to break out more. They'll have acne. But you can see what's going on the inside because of the chemical change is happening on the outside. Well, some people will have a hard time with getting rid of acne and so forth, majority of the time they have high yeast levels. Oh, hallelujah. Turn to... So the Lord shows us in His Word that He will protect us when the blood is applied, and He will protect us from the destroyer from coming into our house. But He can't protect us if we invite evil into our house. Amen? In other words, He can't protect you for what you eat. Unless you've prayed over it and asked God. In other words, you can't cast out calories, can you? Amen? You can't curse the fat and command it to wither and die, can you? It ain't going to work. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Exodus 23. Exodus 23. All praise God. Is everybody there? I just want to share this again here. In verse 17 it says, three times in the year all your males shall appear before the Lord God. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk, and so forth. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Now listen, he said three times, and I just want to share this again, three times a year. In other words, cleansing ourselves. He caused the Israelites to cleanse themselves three times a year. Why? Clarity. It helps to mortify our flesh. It helps to strengthen us. The three feasts every year to be done without leavened bread. The blood of his sacrifice was without unleavened bread. In other words, even communion, when I first started, I would never take communion with leavened bread. I would never take communion with leavened bread. Of course, when we're out there doing services and so forth, people bring leavened bread and whatever. We ask the Lord to bless it anyways, right? But Jesus did not take communion with leavened bread. It was unleavened. The remains of the sacrifice shall not be left until the morning because of what? Fermentation. They didn't eat things left over. Now, like I said, don't get me wrong. There are sometimes when some things that are fermented are good for you. Amen? But then there are certain things that are not good for you. And we must be careful of what we feed. What we feed our spirit and what we feed our flesh. It is very, very important. And I just want to share a couple things here about a diet. Is anybody interested in it?
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. Not me, you kidding. Hallelujah. First, you may want to seek medical advice for your own protection in case you got something. Amen. You might want to go get a blood test. Any health nutritionist will know about yeast levels. Of course, you got to be careful of ones that don't tell the truth. You may use this guideline to your cleansing and find this works with other cleansing formulas also. You can use this for a week or more, but after the cleansing period, always maintain a healthy diet, avoiding the snares of food again. Amen. It's an opportunity to, once you've completed the diet and the cleansing, it's a good opportunity not to go back to that garbage again. I have not had a candy bar in I don't know how many years. Now, I've had a protein or health bar, but I do not eat candy bars. It was just one, after all kinds of stuff, I said, that's it, I'm done with these candy bars. I was a Snicker man, let me tell you. Man, I used to love Snickers. Woo-hoo! You know, when I skipped dinner, I ate a Snicker bar. That was my dinner. Hallelujah. Sometimes I lived on Snicker bars for weeks. It wasn't healthy then. During all the period of cleansing, avoid. These are things you must avoid. Sugar and all products, you must read labels. This is during the cleansing. Yeast. Vinegar. Edible molds like mushrooms. Did you ever wonder why they grow at night? I do not eat mushrooms. Hallelujah. No smoked products. Smoked. Things that are smoked. Like smoked turkey. Don't eat cigars. Preservatives. Avoid the preservatives. Caffeine, malts, baking soda or powder. All preservatives, caffeine, malts, baking soda, or powder. Malts, you know, things that say malt on it. What they try to do, they use the word malt to replace sugar. But it's actually sugar. Yeah. No substitute products. Did you ever read anything that says enriched? You know why it's enriched? Because everything's been taken out of it. So it comes from the lab. Let's enrich it with chemical vitamin C. Things that are pasteurized are killed. Did you ever drink milk? It says pasteurized. They say, oh, it's good for you. That's why it says enrich with vitamin D, because they killed everything in it. Does everybody understand that? Pasteurized things are probably one of the worst things that you and I could drink. Besides, of course, sodas and whatever. Hallelujah. Everybody's going to be throwing out their milk. Not me, no way, man. I just put chocolate in it and it changes it all. Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to do this for 4 weeks, okay? A diet for 4 weeks. This is a 4-week process diet. Are you ready? Good death. You ready? Okay. First week, obtain hyssop cleanse. You can get it anywhere. Hyssop cleanse powder to use twice a day. I would suggest that you... Same thing as they did in the Old Testament. Light the blood of Jesus on your hyssop cleanse. Pray over it. Amen. It's not that bad. On the first day, if you can take the cleanse and fast, do it with just water. Do not use tap water. The best thing to use is distilled water. Because it's got nothing in it. This is the first week. This is just the first week, okay? Avoid meat for the first week. Milk and anything that has seeds with skin like fruit, peppers, etc. No leftover food, no pasta, no dairy products. No vitamins, don't take any supplements, no nothing. No juices. What am I eating? This is the first week. Come on, now listen. I'm going to tell you what you can eat. Hold tight now. Praise God. Let me share something with you, very important. Most of the vitamins that you're taking are not good for you anyways. Most of them are what they call hot pressed or come from the lab, and they're already destroyed. And if you have a lot of yeast in you anyways, you can't absorb it because yeast clogs your villi, which is in your intestines where you absorb nutrients. So you're trying to take all of these supplements and do all of this stuff, but you can't absorb anything and nothing's changing. Okay? Things that you can eat. Of course, unleavened bread, it's called microbiotic bread. Yeah. Unleavened bread. Of course, vegetables. Eggs. You can have potatoes. Do not eat white rice. You can have rice, but do not eat white rice. White rice is bleached. Amen. Yellow white, if you get that kit, it's all preservative garbage.
How about the brown rice?
Brown rice. People get yellow rice. That's all this is, dyed yellow. It was white prior to it. Hallelujah. You can have fish and beans and wheat germ. Warm cereal like oatmeal or cream of wheat. Fresh garlic and onions you can always have. Salads with just oil, no vinegar. Remember, no fermentation. So there's a lot of things you can eat. You know, what you're staying away from is a lot of the leaven and the preservatives and so forth. You want to cleanse it out. Okay, you ready for the second week? No butter. No poop. Garbage is called poop. Second week. It's good to fast a meal. In other words, it's good to fast a meal for about, you know, once a day. It's good to fast one where you can just drink through it. Continue with your hyssop cleanse. There's something you really need to add. It's called acidophilus. Acidophilus is a very good bacteria. It also assists in destroying yeast. ACCIDOPHILUS. If you're going to start using milk, use 1% skim milk with acidophilus. Buy it. You can put acidophilus in it too. Non-fat yogurt with acidophilus. What you want to do is load up with acidophilus so you can start replacing and putting good bacteria in you. Start utilizing vitamin C, vitamin E, and there's another vitamin called L-lysine. Just L-S-Y-I-N-E. Asparagus is excellent for your body. Asparagus cleanses your liver and your kidneys. Asparagus is really good for you. It's a vegetable. For some of you who don't know what it is. Not out of the can. And when you buy vegetables, it's very important that you... be good to buy them raw. It's very important that you get what they call... They got a little spray thing you can get at the stores, and it takes the pesticides off. Because most of the stuff, the pesticides are applied most of the time by a petroleum, and you can't get rid of them. So this other stuff will remove it. I forgot what it's called.
Fix.
Fix works really good. Fix it. Amen. Fit? Oh, fit. Sorry. Don't have a fit. Just use it. Remember to maintain a lot of plenty of water. Drink a lot of water because you're going to be doing a lot of flushing. Continue to eat vegetables. You can even get a vegetable protein mix. Just make sure that there's stuff that you see, read the labels. Not yet. No fruit yet. Hallelujah. Fruit's the third week. Third week. If you can, always fast the first day of the week, if you can, or fast a couple meals. You can start taking like a protein drink, include yogurt, banana, some nuts. Okay. Add fruit in small amounts. Associated herb teas. I don't know if you've ever heard of spaghetti squash, but it's excellent. Try to maintain a low carb. Continue to take your vitamins. Continue to do, what you're doing is you're just adding. Still take your hyssops. You're just adding things now. The fourth week, maintain your hyssop cleanse twice a day. Continue the program. Start using a little bit more mineral vitamins. Pastas with sauce. Cheese. Eat some flesh. And the rest is up to you. No, the purpose of the diet, remember, the purpose of the diet is to change your body so that you can assist change it with new habits. Amen? Believe me, your body's going to kick and scream. You may even get sick for 2 or 3 days because your body's going to start spreading out these toxins. Now, there's a few other things that I would suggest you use. There is a product called Miracle 2. It is excellent. Excellent. It's one of the great things that they're using now, and it's been proven about using it for getting rid of yeast. And you can take like 2 or 3 ounces of it a day. It's just called Miracle 2. Another good thing is there's a Miracle 2 soap. It's all natural. It's very good for you. Taking hot baths so that your body can sweat and these things can come out of you. Believe me, when I first started this diet, when this doctor put me on this diet, for the first 3 days, I was crawling in my living room. Now, I know that you won't be because the way I was is I was drugged out constantly. I hadn't come off in 8 or 9 years, maybe 10 or 12 years. I didn't come off. I didn't take a break. And, of course, I was dying, so when I took this break, I was crawling on my hands and knees for about 3 days. I was so sick. So sick. Now, you can even juice, okay? You can juice vegetables and so forth and start juicing, which is very good for you. You can increase the process by juicing. It helps tremendously. But one of the things you want to stay away from is a lot of leaven, a lot of preservatives, a lot of things that fermented things, vinegar and stuff like that. Stay away from the meat. You know, meat is a lot of the stuff like the hot dogs, and they got all of these. I mean, man, they got so much garbage in it, man. It's disgusting. I mean, you don't defeat what you're doing. Don't justify. Okay, I ate good this morning. I'll have this tonight. Then you just defeated yourself. What you want to do is you want to get to a place where you're actually changing. You're changing your diet. Amen. These sausages and all of this other stuff. Amen. So, in other words, be careful of what you eat. You're going through a cleansing. It's an opportunity to change your life. That's what it's about. Changing your life. I want to share something with you very, very powerful. Oh, to God be the glory. Jesus saw this when he was on the cross. Would you turn to John 19? John chapter 19. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Spirit of leaven. Woohoo! You know, think about all the little kids that are suffering. You know, it just really hurts my heart. You know, my daughter was born because of the things that she had been inherited. She was born with all kinds of stuff. And then when she came out of the womb of the mother and we took her, one of the first things we did is we break every curse off of that child and we interceded for her and so forth. And one of the things that we began to do, not right away, but within like a two-week period, we began to feed her raw goat's milk. Now I drink raw goat's milk and eat raw goat cheese because it's not processed. And we fed her healthily. We even took we juiced for her, and because she was a baby, and we, you know, the ice cube trays, and I would put juice in the ice cube trays of carrot juice, this, and I would mix it, and I would take out the cube and put it in her goat milk, and she would just drink it up. And let me tell you something. It's phenomenal. My child has never been had the shots immunized and so forth. In fact, this last week was the first time out of almost 5 years that she's been really sick. And that's it, and she's gone through it. She's never had antibiotics in her or nothing. Nothing. And when we brought her in and we talked to the doctor because she caught the flu, which many people have, the virus or whatever it was, a stomach virus where she couldn't eat and so forth, and they had to give her IV. And one of the things that we shared with the doctors and the nurses there, listen, this child has never had antibiotics, and they were like, good. Good. So most of the time they go and pump somebody with antibiotics, but that would have been the last resort that they wanted to do with Lissy. They did not want to give her any antibiotics, so they just gave her IV of the solution so that she would not be dehydrated, and she came right out of it because of her immune system. Does everybody understand that? Powerful. Let me tell you, you change your diet, you change. What you eat is what you are. Oh, hallelujah. John 19. Jesus saw this. This is very powerful. Let's see. Okay. Now, starting at verse 28. Now, Jesus is on the cross, and after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now, a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there. What's the sour wine represent? Me and you. And they filled it with a sponge with sour wine and put it on what? Hyssop. Why? Hyssop neutralizes yeast. And put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. Why? That sour wine was no longer sour. Does everybody get it? And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Jesus saw. He knew exactly what was going on. Yes, it represented sin. But didn't Jesus say, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? You got to understand, what manifests in the natural realm is associated with the spirit realm, isn't it? Everything, no matter what it is. Jesus was on the cross. He saw all the effects. He knew. He knew about the prince of power of error. Isn't a fungus? It's a live organism, isn't it? Yeast is a live organism, isn't it? Well, praise God. Think about it. It's a live organism. Live. Where it gets in your body and begins to overtake you. And you don't even realize it. It eats your immune system. And that's what it does. It depletes you. My people are destroyed, perishing, decaying for lack of knowledge. Jesus expressed, there's that vessel. There's my children filled with this yeast. What did he tell them to do? He associated them to hyssop, didn't he? Amen? Hyssop. Hyssop works very well with it. It's a cleanse. I mean, some of us have been on a candida cleanse. And some of you have probably heard of it, candida. It's associated with overtaking of yeast in your body. People who are bloated. Like I said, hyper children and so forth. I can't express myself about the torment I see that these children, they're putting them on medication. They're medicating them crazy. What they need to do is try and give them all a yeast. Test all of their blood and see what kind of yeast they have. And then give them a diet. Watch them change. And they think they're mentally disturbed. They're mentally possessed. But one of the effects of it is yeast from the spirit of leaven. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. So, you know, this is just an opportunity to change the way we eat. Amen? To change the way we eat. And so that you and I can now start not eating all of this other garbage that we come out. The Bible says, come out from among them. Come out from among them. That's amazing how we'll come out from among them in certain areas, but not other areas. Well, I no longer go to the bar, but I sure go to the corner store and get 14 candy bars a day. Man, I never ate so much garbage in my life. Well, hallelujah. It's time to change. Absolutely time to change. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and we are blessed. Lord, we ask that you continue to help us with our diet, that we may live and walk the full course that you've given us. Lord, show us how you want us to eat. Lord, this was just an expression, but if God is leading you on another specific diet, go with it. Amen? You don't have to be bound to what was expressed to you tonight. Whatever God is leading you on, do it. But come out from among them and get clarity in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.